Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to the Score program for tonight. Coming up on the program in just a few moments' time, we'll be speaking to Mr. Killian Duffy of On the Pace Notes as we look ahead to the Galway International Rally. Brendan Kilcoyne's in studio. We're going to preview this weekend's National Football League action, where, of course, the big game of the weekend from a Donegal point of view is coming from Hayley Park and Omagh on Sunday. It's Donegal against Tyrone, the first of the big derbies of 2023. That match, of course, will be fully live here on Highland as from the 2 o'clock start on Sunday afternoon. And we'll also be discussing women's soccer, because it's a big period for women's football here in the Northwest. There was a coaching workshop took place last night involving coaches and indeed numerous clubs from throughout the county. And the FEI are coming to town next week as they will host the Women's Football Conference here in Letterkenny. Paddy McDade, who's head of women's football at Fun Harps, will be joining us on the show as well, coming up later on in the programme. But we're going to start with motorsport, because it is, of course, a very busy weekend. It's the start of the Irish Rally Tarmac Championship, where the Galway International Rally, of course, starts things off on Saturday and Sunday, with 2 days of action taking place. 9 stages on Saturday, 6 stages on Sunday, and a bumper entry list, to say the least, for the Galway International Rally. Fingers crossed that we've got Killian Duffy on the line with us. Good evening, Killian.
Oisín, thanks for being on. How's things?
We're not too bad, Killian. Delighted to have you on the programme. We haven't been speaking to you, I don't think, since June of last year.
No, it's been a while, all right, but the time has flown in and won't be long until next June again, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's it. Well, listen, the immediate thing for those that have an interest in this fascinating sport is, of course, the Galway International Rally. And as I said there, Killian, an absolutely stunning lineup for the first event of the year.
A stunning lineup is for sure. It's just unbelievable. I think the only one really missing, we'll say, from top or five people that potentially could win the rally is Alistair Fisher, but like the top 20 cars are R5 cars. We've just, I think, a few less R5 cars starting here than in Monte Carlo, the first round of the World Championship. Like the competition, the quality of the field here, we've seen it, as I always say, when Craig Breen came back in 2019, he didn't have it his own way. So the Irish guys go as hard as anybody on Irish roads. And, no matter where the driver comes from to race them, like, these guys are at the absolute top level of the sport. And it's going to be a thrilling race. It's going to be a tough event. I think conditions are going to be quite favourable. Last year was really, really wet event, but I think it might be slightly damp in the mornings to start off, but then it's going to be dry weather. So it's going to be serious racing, and it's very even hard to predict a winner. And then you look back through the field and the class battles are fantastic, like right the whole way back through the field. So it's more than just the race for the top 5 or 10 positions. There's races for all the classes as well. So I can't wait, and I'd say there's going to be huge spectator numbers down there with the anticipation of a great weekend ahead.
Yeah, how much pressure is there on the shoulders of Josh Moffat and Andy Hayes, because these boys are going in as the double championship winners from last year? They won the National and the Tarmac. They're in a Hyundai i20 R5, and they're the men to catch this year, because they had a very impressive season last year. How do you carry confidence into the following year, or is there more pressure given that you're the champion? Do you feel, Killian?
I think he's doing that much rallying, Josh. I don't think he feels huge pressure, to be honest. In rallying, though, it's a strange sport. Like, you need, although he had a great year last year, he won, both championships. He was almost unbeatable. He played a real good game on several events. He mightn't have been quickest on every event, but he was always there. Didn't have any great time loss, didn't have any great moments. He was picking up the points, but like, he had a lot of wins, obviously, as well, that he was, a fair bit ahead, particularly in the national championship. But I don't think so. I mean, he's not going to want to be there, go to Galway and finish second. Probably in his own head, he's still in the same car that possibly was outdated last year. Comparing to the Polos or the new Hyundai that his brother Sam is out in, but. Nonetheless, like, he's a lot of seat time. He knows the car very well. I mean, Galway, generally, it can be shiny, it can be slippy. It's still going to be that way this weekend, although it's not going to be wet, full wet. But he knows the car quite well, and particularly in those conditions, it'll probably he'll start best, I would say, because, as I said, it's just he's so familiar with the car. and what it's going to do in every type of condition, that it's going to be hard to bet against them, to be honest.
Yeah. Marian Evans, obviously second in the championship last year, starts at 2. Callum Devine, who will be looking to impress in the polos, at 3. Sam Moffat, Desi Henry, Cahill McCourt, Johnny Greer, Gary Jennings, Declan Boyle, Gareth McKeel. The list goes on in relation to the Mount R5 cars. But there's a lot of people enjoy seeing the R5s, Killian. But the entertainment category, as we know, is those two-wheel drive modified cars. And Galway can always throw up a couple of spins and a bit of entertainment. But thanks to Gary Kiernan, Kevin Eaves, Jason Black, Connor Murphy, they're all going to be ahead in the field. We better mention the Donegal men as well, Mark Alcorn and John O'Donnell. But this is a class and this is a section of the rally that people love, so does Killian.
Oh, it's going to be a brilliant race as well. I mean, you know, going back to it and the, you know, people on form last year. I mean, Gary Kiernan probably, you know, he showed great speed last year. Didn't have all the luck, really. You know, he had a lot of mechanical issues and so on throughout the year. So I think he never really got into a real confident stride. But like the pace Kevin Eaves was on several events last year, obviously Killarney Historics, just the last event that ran in 2022. But even in Galway last year, before he went off, his pace was just incredible. But again, there is a dark horse coming there, Jason Black. He's got a new 2.5 engine in the car. He used to be in the 2 litre class. So I wouldn't just discount him either. I think it will take him maybe an event to get into the car, to get used to the more power and what it does. And again, as I said, Galway being slippy, it's not the easiest to get used to a new car. But it's going to be a good race, and Conor Murphy showed great form last year in the Killarney Historics and also in the Kerry Winter stages. So, I mean, there's so many people are match fit, although the winter for the modified guys was a lot shorter than the R5 guys. Like a lot of the R5 guys haven't rallied in 5 months almost. So I'd say there was a right bit of testing done over the last week with guys just to get up to speed. But unfortunately, the first stage of the rally was a really tricky stage, 13.8 kilometres called Coldwood. And I just seen a notification going out this evening that it now starts at location 10. So it's only half the length now, which is a bit disappointing because it was such a challenging stage and it would have separated people very early on, particularly people that woke up early. You know, it's just under 7 kilometres now. But on the plus side of that is guys that probably have a bad stage, at least have only had a bad 7 kilometres, they're not going to have a bad 14 kilometres. But yeah, it's going to be all action in Galway and it's going to be a great weekend, hopefully.
Yeah, what's the rest of the stages like? Will a lot of these be familiar to these crews, or have they decided to shake it up?
Yeah, like Galway, because there's so many, you know, road networks down there that you can run stages in opposite directions. Like the stage there, 3 on Saturday was ran in the direct opposite direction last year. Stage 2 is like Brady's Yard that would have been traditionally ran years ago, but there's different twists in at different directions. The first one, Coldwood, I don't remember doing it in a long time. And then the Sunday stage, the first one is the Black Road. I think it's one of probably the most famous Galway stage. But again, they've really mixed it up. There's a new start to last year. There's a new finish from last year. The middle's the same. It was really, really tricky, the Black Road. Like there's a lot of choppy surface and running water, even in dry conditions on it. And then the last stage of the rally was used, I think, back maybe 15, 16 years ago. And that's a real fast stage. Tricky at the start, and then it turns into real, real fast stage. But I think, like, if there was a race on, if someone had to get time, it'd be on the first stage, the Black Road, Sunday morning, if there was a race on, because the next one, there's only limited time to be gotten it.
Yeah, time for the plug. You'll be there. You'll be following all the action, end of stages, Killian. It's a big year for you because you're and obviously you do what you do in the Irish Tarmac Championship, but you've been stepping it up in the National Championship for the year as well.
Yeah, I mean, we had some great racing in 2022 and unfortunately we had no show. We had no, you know, after the event, we had no show to give us a summary of the event. I sort of thought about it there for probably since halfway through last year. And then I decided to see about getting a team together to do a proper 30 to 40 minute show on the Friday night after each national championship round. This is the Triton Showers Championship. So I have my team together. You know, some familiar faces on the camera work. I have some new people involved in the editing. It's sort of a new team. We sort of didn't want to bite off more than we chew. So we're just concentrating on the 8 rounds of the Triton Showers Championship this year. But it's shaping up and we're hoping to make a good few, you know, improvements to the whole thing and the look of it visually. You know, the you know, the posters and the winners and just make it hopefully a bigger deal of it. We're really excited by it. I think it's been lacking. Rallying's been lacking it. I mean, we all look back at the Motorsport Ireland videos of the RPM era, and we could still watch any of them. And I'm not saying that we're going to be on RPM standard within the first event, but it's certainly our plan to have it, you know, to a very, very high standard within a couple of events. You know, there's always going to be, you can always work to be better. But it's just the Facebook Live is great. Facebook Live is fantastic for, you know, this weekend. Everyone will tune in Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday crews that we're doing the rally and watch back. But, you know, it's difficult to scroll back through the screen and it all to be, you know, it's difficult to find it on Facebook. You have to scroll down. So that was got me thinking to get involved in the show. So I approached the Triton Showers Championship and I said, well, what's the chances of getting a show? So there was a bit of to and fro in there, and I was trying to make it work. Obviously, you know, clubs, the championships, they're all strapped for money. So, I mean, I have a lot of advertisers that from over the years with Facebook Live. So I still have opportunities there for people to advertise in this show. But I think once people see the first one, I think it'll be even easier to sell the advertising on it and to make it work and to make it cost effective, both the championship and the rallies. So yeah, there's lots to look forward to. It's a great year, and hopefully all the racing is just as good as 2022.
Yeah, so it's going to be a busy year. You've got those programs and pieces for the National. You're going to be there this weekend for the start of the Tarmac Championship. But of course, all roads are leading to Donegal. Killeen, it's always the big one come June.
Yeah, I see Eamon has stood aside for the Donegal. So that's a pity. I mean, Eamon is, I don't think there's a better club person in rallying than Eamon McGee, and the work he puts into it is just absolutely incredible. Like, you could be in West Cork, you could be anywhere round the country, and you will see Eamon McGee. So, I mean, whoever takes the place has a big job, big role, big shoes to fill. You know, so hopefully we see Eamon involved in some way in the event, because Eamon has a lot of support from around the country, and as I said, there's a lot of clubs that owe him favours for him travelling to events. So hopefully it all comes together and runs well for whoever takes it on.
Okay, who's your winner just finally then? Who do you think Sunday around Air Square, I take it the finish is going to be, is it? Or and around the centre of Galway?
The Connacht Hotel, I think. Yeah. The ceremony starts tomorrow evening in Air Square. So before I give the prediction, I have to give you a shout out. You have three new listeners tonight to Lucy, Ben and Aaron. They're tuned into Highland Radio on their mother's phone here listening to this interview.
Hi, you guys.
To be honest, I think it's hard to look. I think it'll be either Josh Moffat or Callum Devine. You know, I think Sam is in the new Hyundai, and I think it's going to be a bit trickier. You know, he went to the modified last year, so he's not just as match fit, I don't think, as the guys now. I understood he has done 2 days testing, but nothing makes up for seat time, nothing makes up for rally time. The feeling going out to that stage and the nerves, you know, from doing rallies are never, you know, the more rallies you do, the less nervous you are. So I would predict for the overall win, I'm going to say either Josh Moffat or Callum Devine. I couldn't dare to pick the top three, because that could be anyone from the top 20, really, to be honest. And then I would say in the modifieds, it's hard to look past Kevin Eaves. You know, to be honest. So it's going to be a great race. I hope everyone can tune in on the Pace North Facebook page. And can't wait for Saturday morning. It's an early start in Park Fermi. I think our first broadcast is at 7 o'clock now rather than 7:30. So everyone's phones are going to be pinging for the weekend, but we're well up for it.
Yeah, listen, we're up for it too, and we're looking forward to it. Have a safe event, Killeen, and the best of luck with Galway and the rest of the year.
Thanks very much, Richie. Mind yourself. Bye-bye.
There you go. That is Killeen Duffy off on the Pace Note. Looking forward to what will be hopefully a busy weekend in Galway, and have a safe one too. Right, this is The Score. We're live across the Northwest on air, and we're live on our socials as well. Join us on Facebook Live and on YouTube. We're going to take a commercial break. Still to come on the programme, National Football League Gaelic Games. Plus, we'll be talking Donegal women's soccer.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Recover from the toughest sessions with foam rollers and massage guns, or find your flow with the latest yoga mats and blocks in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score programme here on Highland. Time to talk Gaelic football, and I'm joined by one of our big match pundits. That, of course, is Brendan Kilcoyne. Brendan, you're welcome to the studio of Highland once again.
Good evening, Oisín.
So, Brendan, week one done in the National Football League. What did you make of Donegal's performance, first of all, last week?
Ah, yeah, listen, you'd have to say very encouraging. It was, we were somewhat worried in the first half at 1-6 to 3 points down 20 minutes, but I thought the lads showed great resolve and clipped in with a few points before half time to give them a bit of hope going in at the break, and came out in the second half, I think, and kicked 4 points in the bounce. And, you know, I think it made a huge difference getting the crowd behind them. The crowd got involved and they were engaged in the game then, and you could feel the crowd feeding off the players and the players feeding off the crowd, and that was enough to get them over the line, and deservedly so. And, of course, then we had the big finale with Patrick's super point at the end that we've seen, the loop run coming in off the right wing, left foot, two or three passes and left foot over the bar, and, you know, fantastic win. And Jack O'Connor was a bit aggrieved by certain things, like, but Donegal showed great resolve, a lot of new players, you know, involved in the team. And, you know, people saying Kerry were short a good few, which obviously they were, you know, when you take the two Cliffords and the likes of Gavin White, Paul Ganey, these kind of guys. But by the same token, Donegal were short a good few players and regular starters. There was a relatively new Donegal team, and, you know, you the likes of Michael Langan, Kieran Thompson, Ryan McHugh, Owen Band. These are all players that will automatically get into that Donegal team, you would imagine. Well, that would have been the perception. So it was great to see the young fellas, see some of the new guys come in, the likes of Mark Kern, you know, coming in at cornerback. Conor Donald, wing forward, has been a revelation, but we've seen that recently with them. And then you had Keelan McColgan, you know, at wing back, coming up and kicking two or three, was 3 points he kicked? You know, yeah, showing great courage and great belief in himself to do that. So it's brilliant for Paddy Carr and his management team, and I'm delighted for them that they have got that bounce kind of thing, because, you know, there was a lot of pressure that wasn't their doing brought onto them, and to be able to get a win against the All-Ireland champions on your home soil, it certainly gives the whole county a lift. And, you know, even you're going to Healy Park next Sunday with renewed hope. And
can you carry that bounce now into Sunday?
Oh, you have to carry that bounce into Sunday, you know, with the realisation that, you know, you're going to be meeting a brick wall in Oma, so you are, because Tyrone are reeling off the back of, you know, the Roscommon defeat, and, you know, they were comprehensively beaten in the end, but that said, they were within kicking distance with 2 or 3 minutes to go, and the two cautions of the win and conceded a late goal. But, you know, we were talking, you know, Tyrone have conceded 6 goals in their last 2 games, 3 goals in the second half against Roscommon. And, you know, I was watching, you know, I watched the highlights and I watched the game. You know, Tyrone had plenty of defenders back, and, you know, if you're a coach on the sideline and you're seeing these kind of goals conceded, particularly the first and the second goal, the third goal you can kind of excuse because they were chasing the game, they were kind of up the field at the time. But, like, it was terrible defending on their behalf. Now, there was a couple of moments of genius from Enda Smith at number 11 for Roscommon, like his ball into Murtha for the first goal was sublime. It was fantastic. And, you know, he was involved in all 3 goals, integrally involved in all 3 goals. But you're not happy if you're a Tyrone, if you're involved with Tyrone and conceding them type of goals. And, you know, Tyrone will be reeling after that. So, you know, that mightn't be a good thing for Donegal, but that's Donegal's, you know, Donegal have to get their own house in order, and they will certainly, you know, I think they will get a bounce from the win. I think they'll get confidence. Football is a lot about confidence. And, you know, Donegal should garner a lot of confidence out of being able to compete against the Kerrys. And, you know, Kerry had 5 of the All-Ireland winning team. They brought on 4 or 5 subs that would have played in the All-Ireland. And, you know, I think that's good for young fellas. I think it's good for management. It means that the team can trust the process. It makes training a more enjoyable place this week. But, yeah, it's a big ask to go in now to Oma again next Sunday too.
And if mistakes happen, and there has been mistakes, you expect them at this time of the year in football. Paddy Carr mentioned it during the McKenna Cup, and he mentioned it again last week. I don't know what, off that 1-6, maybe 1-4 might have came from mistakes. So it did in that first half. And when you go to somewhere like Healy Park and Oma, you'll be really, really punished for it.
Absolutely. And, you know, the first 20 minutes, Donegal, you know, you're looking at them, you're thinking, what the hell is going on here? I think there was 6 or 7 unforced errors, turnovers that gave the ball to Kerry, came up the field, and, you know, they led to Kerry kicked in relatively easy scores. And, you know, you look at the goal that they got, you know, by no means, and, you know, you have to mention Sean Patton, his kickouts were absolutely fantastic the whole day, but, you know, that's a second time in very short space of games that they've conceded a goal like that. And that's something that other teams will be kind of looking at. And will we allow them to take the short and then put the big press on and get
it? But is it not part of the rustiness of the time of the year, Brendan?
You can say that, but it wasn't rustiness when it happened up in Clonus last year, yeah. Oisín. You know, and, you know, sometimes you have to evaluate these things, and, you know, they have to be stamped out, because you can't carry on at this level in Division 1 football. You can't carry on giving goals like that, and you have to be more clinical getting the ball out of them areas. And, you know, we have the best kicker in the game in Sean Patton. You know, he's the best kicker in my mind in the country now, so he is. And you know, it's about, yeah, of course you have to avail of that short option, but he also has a big boot in him. And when we get some of these Langans and Thompsons back at it to Conor O'Donnell in the half forward line, thought Darrow Boyle did brilliant at number 11 too in the 40 last week for Donegal, kicked a couple of brilliant scores in the first half. But they're the kind of tools that Donegal need to be using and getting the maximum out of, because Patton can ping them from 60, 70 yards.
Yeah. What sort of performance then is it going to need from Donegal on Sunday if they were to make it 2-1 on the bounce, which would be a phenomenal start in the league?
Yeah, and listen, I think we're going to need to score more. You know, up front, you look at, you know, a lot of the scores were coming from further out the field. I thought we did well enough in the middle of the field. Keelan and Jason McGee did well enough in the middle of the field. Jamie Brennan did brilliant carrying the ball out from defence at times and relieved a lot of pressure for Donegal last Sunday. But there wasn't enough good quality ball going into that inside line. And you need your inside line tipping in with good scores with 3-4 points apiece, maybe getting an odd goal. And we never really, you know, in my mind, we didn't threaten that last Sunday, because with the work and getting a good supply of ball inside, the scores were coming from deeper. So we need to be more clinical up there. We need to try and get the ball into that full forward line, because we know the quality we have. We know that Jamie can get score. Patrick, you know, kicked the winning score and was fantastic kind of thing. But he wasn't really in the game, so he wasn't getting the service. And, you know, he knows, Patrick knows well, coming up against these Tyrone defenders, they're going to be dogged. They're not going to give much space. So we have to find a way to get these guys involved in the game more.
Yeah, and obviously Fergal, Logan and Brian Doher will be telling their sets of players, listen, it's not a good thing to start your league campaign with two defeats, and particularly when you lose to your neighbours, Donegal.
Big time, yeah. And, you know, there's such a rivalry brought up between Tyrone and Donegal over the last 20 years, so there has, and particularly over the last 10, 12 years. And, you know, it's a big ask for Donegal to go in there, but that's where you're at in Division 1. Every game is a clinker, every game is tight, and you look at the margins last weekend between all the teams, like every game nearly went to the wire kind of thing. Ryan O'Donoghue kicked a point level for, you know, in a ferocious battle down west. Armagh came out on top against Tyrone, and, you know, the Rossies then just held out against Tyrone. Armagh came out against Monaghan. So, you know, every point that you can pick up is going to be crucial in this league. And, you know, it's a brilliant bonus, because not many people would have given Donegal a huge chance of getting 2 points. But it's going to be a slog the whole way through. Every game is going to be a big ask. And that's what you need. That's what you want. If you want to compete for honours later on in the year, you need to be testing yourself. You need to be finding out, is this guy good enough to play in this position? Can we improve the way we're defending? Can we get the ball out? Can we transition quicker from defence? And they're the questions that Donegal's will be looking for answers for over the next few weeks.
Yeah, what about the rest of the games? Kerry against Monaghan, you would expect Kerry at home to get that one?
You would expect Kerry at home to be reeling after last weekend. And, you know, Jack O'Connor wasn't a happy camper after the match. You know, you're looking Monaghan, they're in a period of transition. You know, you're looking, there's some fantastic footballers like in Conor McManus, David Garland kicked 9 points for UCD last night, and he's not even on the squad from what I'm hearing kind of thing. So they have a lot of quality there, but I think that Kerry would have too much for them down in Tralee.
Yeah, Jack McCarron's another.
Jack McCarron is the guy that is the name. Yeah, that couldn't
be. Galway against Roscommon, this one's going to be tasty, so it is. The beaten All-Ireland finalists up against their neighbours. And Roscommon's a bit like Donegal now. They'll go into that game with a lot of confidence against their neighbours, so they will.
They will indeed. And, you know, Galway will be kind of kicking themselves. They had me all pinned, and only for Ryan O'Donoghue kicked that late score last weekend. But Roscommon will be going crest of a wave to play Galway. They've had some huge battles over the last few years. And, you know, there's, at the minute, you'd have to say that I'd fancy Galway to go through kind of thing. You know, Cormer looks to be playing really well on the edge of the square. Few of the balls he caught in there last week were phenomenal. Came out the field, one ball. Sean Kelly is playing really well, had a good Sigerson campaign. So Matthew Tierney got the goal for them last weekend. They still have players to come back. Obviously, Shane Walsh, after playing the All-Ireland final, club final there a couple of weeks ago, still hasn't returned to the squad. I think he's travelling for a bit. But you would think that Galway are a team that I feel are going to go well this year.
Yeah, and Armagh against Mayo. Mayo coming to the athletic grounds for this one.
Yeah, another clinker, like, you know, and did a big battle down in the Hyde last year, so they had, if I remember rightly, and Mayo just came out on top. But Armagh will feel that we're hard done by that day. They played really well. They've a lot of quality, like, they've some quality forwards. Like, you take Andrew Mernon, Grogan, you know, O'Neill, you take Stephen Campbell. Rory Grugan, Conor Turbitt, like, there's so much quality. Like, these are all top quality.
How big a year is this for Armagh?
Massive, massive. And they're on, you know, again, they feel they've made huge progress, which they have. They've consolidated themselves in Division 1. We saw what they were capable of when they destroyed Donegal area in the Championship last year. So, massive year for them. Kieran McGeaney has done a brilliant job. You have to give him great credit. It's, you know, he's stuck with the task when things weren't going with him. It's going to be a big ask against
them. Well, they won Ulster.
Ulster, who's going to win Ulster? You could pick, you could throw a blanket around Armagh, Derry, Tyrone, Donegal, Monaghan. Down are going to be a queer detail, I would imagine, too, with new management. They seem to have, you know, really upped their game. So they have Laverty has made a massive difference to them up there. They're playing with a bit of confidence again. And a Down team playing with confidence always have to be taken into consideration. So there are so many teams out there. Any one of them are capable of winning it. And I think we'll learn more as the league goes on, but we'll not see the true extent of where these teams are at. Because teams have to try out a few things. Yeah. They have to try out players through the National League. And that's a risky business in Division 1. But if you can't sort of have a look at things that you want to do in this stage in the league, you don't get a chance to do that later on.
Yeah, reports obviously linking Jim McGuinness with training down as well, but Conor Laverley sort of dampened them down. We understand he may have taken a session, but he's not part of the management of the backroom team. But anyway, moving into Division 2 quickly, Mickey Hart's Louth lost by a point to Clare last week. It's their first home match, but Rory Gallagher's coming to RD for this one, but it's still a game you would expect Derry to win.
Ah, you would, Jan. You can see how tuned in and focused Derry are, like getting their Glen boys back playing a week out from playing an All-Ireland club final shows you the intent they have. They, you know, they were far too strong obviously for Limerick last week, kicking 17 points against 4. You would expect that Rory Gallagher is going to have these boys hopping, and you know they're one of their main intentions for the spring is to get back to Division 1, and they're going to be putting all their focus on that. They know the Dubs are in the Division 2, you know, so that's going to be a battle. Division 2 is very competitive this year. Meath have improved, looked pretty decent last weekend. Cork have improved. Kildare are there. So Division 2 is really competitive too. So Rory Gallagher is going to have a full focus over these number of weeks. Of course, he's going to be trying new things and trying new players, but he's going to have a full focus on getting his team to Division 1. Yeah. And I expect them to come with a victory against Louth.
Right, if you were in commentary with me at Haleigh Park at Omagh on Sunday, one of the first questions was asked you, how's this one going to go today? Who's going to win it? But you're not in commentary, so I'm going to ask you that now, Brendan.
You're going to ask me anyway. 3 or 4 days out. Yeah, well, listen, Donegal will take a lot of pleasure from, you know, from obviously from the victory over Kerry, but I think, you know, Tyrone are going to be reeling from the defeat against Roscommon. It's a huge ask. I wouldn't rule out a draw, so I wouldn't on Sunday. Donegal are going to have to come with the same level for the full 70 minutes, because if they give the Tyrone, you know, that kind of 6-point lead area in the game, Tyrone won't throw that up.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Brendan, thanks for coming on and joining us tonight on The Score. Brendan Kilcoyne there with a look at the Alliance National Football League action. And just to remind you once again, Tyrone against Donegal at Haleigh Park in Omagh, Sunday, 2 o'clock, the throw-in time. We'll be live from 1:45. Martin McHugh's on commentary for the big one as the two neighbours collide early in the league. Elsewhere, Maxi Curran's Donegal Ladies are in action there down in Tralee at Austin Stack Park. They are taking on Kerry on Saturday. Donegal still looking for their first win. 2 defeats to start for Donegal. They now go to the Kingdom. There's a 12-noon start there. It's very early on Saturday for that one. The Tyrone Ladies are also playing this weekend. That is on Sunday, the 5th of February, and they are away from home in Division 2 as they play Laois. The new National Hurling League Division 2B season gets up and running on Saturday. Donegal have an opening tie against Sligo. 2 o'clock is the throw-in time at the O'Donnell Park. Tom Comack will have updates here on Highland from that game. Also this weekend in league action, Tyrone are playing London, also in Division 2B. That one starts later at 7 on Saturday. And Derry are in action on Saturday in Division 2A as they play Kerry. So then, we're going to go for a quick commercial break. Joining us in studio next is Head of Women's Development at Finn Harps, Paddy McDade, to tell us about how women's football has been progressing and how they hope it will progress in the future, because there's a big conference being hosted by the FAI coming to Letterkenny next weekend. We'll get all the details after these.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Recover from the toughest sessions with foam rollers and massage guns, or find your flow with the latest yoga mats and blocks in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score programme. The time is 8:20 on this Thursday night. Time to focus in on soccer. And joining me in studio is Paddy McDade. Paddy is the head of women's development at Finn Harps and is also the chairman of the Ulster Schools. You're welcome to the studio, Paddy.
Thank you, Oisin. How are you getting on?
I'm not too bad, Paddy. Good to have you in, and it's good to talk about women's football because it's a busy period in the county for women's football. Before we talk about what's happening next weekend, maybe you'll tell us how things have progressed, because it was last year that it was announced that Fin Harps and the Donegal Women's League and the Inishowen Women's League had all come together as to bring football into the future for Donegal. Obviously, there's teams now in the National League at under 17 and under 19 level. So how has, I suppose, that merger been since, and how has women's football been developing in the county?
Yeah, I suppose in all aspects of the game, there's lots of stuff going on, whether it be ourselves there at Fin Harps National League, or whether it's in the local leagues, in the schools, a lot of positive going on. I suppose it's all with the Irish team qualifying for the World Cup in Australia next year too, there's even more interest. So it's all good stuff. It's been flat out, to be honest. We had loads of assessments for the girls that weren't involved in the National League before. So obviously the Donegal Women's League had played for the last 4 years in the National League, but now we've merged with them, and then the Shona Women's League bringing us forward for the players in Donegal and the surrounding areas. But no, it's been good. We have 35 players between the under 17s and under 19s. And so, obviously, a lot of disappointed girls too, Oisin. But, you know, those girls are for the future as well. And I would advise them never to give up, and something we can build on in the future.
Yeah. There was a workshop held last night, obviously, with the aim of developing women's football within the county and ticking boxes ahead of this conference, which is taking place next week. And I'll be looking at the photographs that I've seen online on the socials, that you had a good turnout for that. Is that the first of the workshops, Paddy, or is it sort of like an ongoing thing that you've been hosting?
They're having eight throughout the country, Oisin, so I suppose they started with us, which was great for the people in Donegal, and it was an interactive workshop led by Niall O'Regan, who is he's the head of coaching education in Ireland, and facilitated by Trevor Scanlon too, and Brian Dorian. And, you know, it was really, really interesting. You'd people there from all different walks, whether it be elite football, whether it be schools football, whether it be club football, players, teachers, parents even, you know, just genuinely interested in the development of women's football, and a lot of good conversations. We actually had a good format for it, where we actually had to try and work out the solutions first and then look at the problem. So, you know, a lot of really good stuff looking at education, for example, the structures within the game, the environment, but all of it obviously leads back to the players themselves, which is the most important thing, that the players are being serviced and they're being looked after.
Do you feel then that you're making the strides for women's football in the county that you hoped at this stage so early on?
Well, that was one of the key themes we had when we joined up with the Donegal Women's League and the Shona Women's League, was the pathway for the players were very important. Yeah. That the players knew that if they were joining their local club, and then they may play county for the different leagues and whatnot, playing the Gainer Cups, and then progress to National League. Or also, it's very important that, and there's an area we need to look on as well, is the players have nowhere to go after, say, under 16s or something like that. Do we have to look at, can we build the structures better for them? Because lots of girls are still interested. They might be at the elite level, but they still want to play football. So that's very important.
Yeah. From a Fin Harps point of view, you're representing the county now, under 17 and under 19. Obviously, preparations, how have it been ahead of the league start? When these get up and running?
So our first game is the 4th and 5th of March. So 17s are on the 4th, and 19s kick off on the 5th. It's been a lot of work. We just started training actually last week, which has been fantastic. Myself personally, just trying to secure sponsors, things like that there. Just a quick shout out to our main sponsors, like Access Construction, Aidan Gallagher, for under 19s. We're still looking for a main sponsor for under 17s. So anybody listening, commercial at funharps.ie. And we also have we have a sponsor in McElhaney's. So thanks to John and Sander up in McElhaney's for their sponsorship. And we also, Alpaca Way, I was on the phone to John McGonagall before I came up here. So we're still working on that. We're also looking for player sponsorship. So, an individual sponsor for each player. So anybody's interested, playing our social media account for that there as well, be much appreciated, because it's big money to run. You know, we're going to be down in Cork, we're going to be in Galway, we're going to be in Dublin and so on, so we need all the help we can get, you know.
Yeah, and I see next weekend as well, Paddy, James Scott, he's under 17 Ireland manager, he's going to take a training session with one of your teams.
James is going to take the majority of our 17s plus a few of our 19s for a session on the Sunday morning. Down in Lakeview and Letterkenny, and it's great to get somebody like James Scott. He's up in the county all the time with emerging talent. He's no stranger to these parts, and he's a fantastic coach, and he's really good around the girls, and our girls are going to get a great opportunity to show their skills in front of people coming from all over the country. I mean, I just got an email before I come up here. There's a waiting list for this weekend, so it'll tell you how much interest there is locally and nationally for this event.
Yeah. How did this all come about that the FAI decided to hold their conference in Letterkenny, Paddy?
They have it throughout the country. Yeah. So I suppose we're getting a return. Yeah. And I suppose they've recognised too that the efforts are being made up here in the Northwest for girls football. So it's absolutely fantastic to get the opportunity. And hopefully it's going to grow the game even more in this county and nearby.
Yeah. What can we expect from the conference next week? Because obviously the senior team manager is coming. Vera Pugh's going to be in town. And there'll be a lot of interested people to see what these speakers are going to say and try and be given some advice and some direction from them.
Yeah, well, very proud. If you ever listen to her, is excellent. Just giving really good advice, and obviously the likes of Amber Barrett, Kira Grant, Roman McLaughlin working under them, and they're all obviously trying to make her squad for next summer. So I'm really looking forward to her and what she's going to say on. But she's really, really progressive and really looks at the players, not just at the elite level, but she's also looking how can we develop them at underage level as well.
Yeah. And just looking down through the list as well to see that, there's various things in the workshop here. Maybe Paddy, you might tell us what else the talks are about, because it's not just all about Vera Pugh.
Yeah, well, we have the director of football come down, Mark Cannon, and I listened to him recently up in Dublin. We had a meeting up there for all the head coaches for the League of Ireland and for the underage structures, and he's an English guy who's been based over with the English FA for a while and has been with some different clubs, and he's played himself professionally. So he was really interested. I think he's really going to help football in Ireland, not just for women, for men's football as well. He's got some really, really fantastic ideas. So he's going to be very interesting as well for people up here. We also have Eileen Gleeson. We have Orla Harn, who is a product of Niall O'Regan. He was telling us last night he's one of the few women who maybe had their licence, say, 2016. They've restructured the whole thing since then. Niall O'Regan has really driven it unbelievably. He was talking about female coaches having their licence and stuff. You know, you've gone from maybe 10 in 2016 to over 300 currently. Yeah. So that just shows you how much it's progressed, not even for the players, Oisin, but also for women coaches as well, which is really important. I mean, you can, it's hard. It is really hard to get women's coaches. And we talked about that last night. And that was one of the main things, was how can we get people more and people interested? What are some of the hurdles that we're faced with? So obviously things like finance and work commitments and family, obviously commitments is the big one. So,
is there a big shortage?
There definitely is, yeah. But there's definitely a trend and a lot more getting interested, which is good. So it's on the up, hopefully, yeah.
Okay, so listen, overall, it's an exciting time for women's football in Donegal, Paddy.
There's a lot going on at the moment, yeah. As you can hear there, you know. And I was even at a school's game today, you know, and from Valley College, they teach up there, and some of our first years today. It was the first time we actually even played an organised game of football.
Yeah.
And I'm running with boots, shin guards, looking for bits and pieces. But you know what? That means a lot to those girls, and that's what it's about. It's back to the player and them getting the experience, whether it be the elite level or whether it be the grassroots level. We need to look after all these girls and get them playing football.
Okay, listen, Paddy, we appreciate calling under the studio this evening to join us here on The Score, and we wish you and everybody involved in women's football the very best, and enjoy the conference next weekend. We make it speaking to somebody maybe from the FEI next Thursday, but it's a big event, it's a good one to have in the county, and I'm sure everyone will enjoy it. Thanks,
Paddy. Appreciate it, Oisin. Thank you. Cheers.
There you go. That's Paddy McDade, who is head of women's development at Fin Harps, talking about women's football, and of course that conference, which is coming up next weekend. It's the weekend after, it's the 11th and 12th. Okay, we'll take another quick commercial break. We'll have more on The Score after these.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. You'll find everything you need to stay motivated this year, in store and online, with free next day delivery on orders over €85 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
From the smallest shrub to the largest tree in an awkward place, Donnelly Tree Services provide a complete range of tree surgery services. Whether you need to remove a dangerous tree or some nuisance branches, Donnelly Tree Services have the experience and expertise to carry out tree surgery to the highest of professional standards. Call 083 005 9939. Donnelly Tree Services, Donegal. No job is too small, no tree is too tall.
It's the Right Price Tiles and Wood Flooring half price sale. Get up to 50% off all tiles. Wood flooring, bathware, cladding, everything's reduced. Tiles from only $8.99 per square yard and wood flooring from only $11.99 per square yard. Right Price Tiles and Wood Flooring half price January sale extended
until Bank Holiday Monday.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. With all the equipment you need to get fit this year, including home gym equipment like weights, skipping ropes, resistance bands and exercise balls.
So then just looking at some of the other football fixtures soccer-wise in the Northwest this coming weekend, it's the sixth round of the Irish Senior Cup, and just one of the Northwest sides is in action, and that is Institute, the Derry Cider, taking on Ballyclare Comrades. That game is on Saturday afternoon, while in the League Championship, Derrickview are on the road on Saturday as they play Donella. There is, of course, a programme of games taking place Saturday and Sunday in the Donegal Junior League. Some of the standout games in Group B of the Brian McCormick Cup in the Letterkenny area, Rathmullen Celtics playing Fannad United at 7:30 on Saturday. And in the Ulster Junior Cup, I'll just correct myself, that game of Fannad and Rathmullen Celtic is actually Friday, tomorrow night, Friday the 3rd. Then on Saturday, there's an Ulster Junior Cup fixture. It's a quarter final. Castlefin Celtic are away to Monaghan Town. That game starts at 5:30 on a Saturday. The winners will play Alia in the semi-final. The draw, of course, was made last night. The winners of that game will take on any shown opposition. There's also games in Division 1 and Division 2 of the Donegal Junior League on Saturday. Moving on to Sunday, there's a limited programme. There is another Brian McCormick Cup game in Group B in the Gidore area. Kilmacrenan and Celtic are playing Cager Rovers. There's also a handful of games to take place in the likes of Division 1. Just one game in Division 2, and on the top flight is Capri Rovers against St Catharines. There's a full programme of matches down in Inishowen on Sunday. Eight teams involved in four ties in the Premier Division. Among them, the leaders, Mobile Celtic, are taking on a Cockhill Youth. There's also games in Division 1 and Division 2 as well. It's going to be a busy weekend too on the athletics front. On Saturday in Boston, the New Balance Grand Prix, two Finn Valley athletes will be competing. Mark English and Roisin Flanagan will be competing in the 800 and the 3000 metres. And Cranford's Keelan McFadden is going to be running stateside this weekend as well. He's in Boston too, and he will be taking on the Junior International Mile. Then on Sunday, two Donegal clubs are in Spain for the European Club Cross Country Championships. Letterkenny AC are competing in the senior women, while Finn Valley will race in the junior women. And there's also National Masters Indoor Championship action on Sunday afternoon in Athlone. So certainly a very busy weekend on the athletics front. And as always, Patsy McGonigal will be keeping us up to date with all the action there. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you will, of course, be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Our next bulletin is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. Don't forget our feature match this weekend, Donegal against Tyrone. Healy Park and Oma on Sunday starts at 2. Full live match commentary here on Highland. What's left of your Thursday? Enjoy and have a good one.